8 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that's on the slide. From your reading of those verses, if you've done that, or from your past familiarity with these verses, what is the subject that Paul addresses in those first 8 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15? He tells us in that very first line, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel." Few words should have as much meaning to us as that one word, the word gospel. The word gospel simply means good news. And Paul, as he continues on in these verses, will tell us what the gospel is. Do you know? What is the gospel that Paul says here, "I preach to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved"? If we knew nothing else about the gospel, that would be enough to make us realize this is significant, because Paul says, whatever the gospel is, he said it's by the gospel that we are saved. And so what is the gospel? Someone were to ask you, tell me what the gospel is. What is this gospel? What are the contents of the gospel that make it so significant? And the things that save us. Most of the time when we answer that question, here's the answer that we give. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That is the Old Testament Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Period. Is that the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me respectfully suggest that's not the gospel. The gospel is not the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. I want you to read what I read a moment ago. Read it again. And there's one word, one little word that I want you to notice. It's the word "and." Now, Paul said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and there's another one. What follows that last "and"? He appeared to Cephas. That's Peter. Then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep, that is, they've died. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to the one untimely born, He appeared to me also. The gospel is not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearances of Jesus. If we don't get that fourth one in there, and why for all of my upbringing we just limited it to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I don't know why. When the reading of the text makes it clear, there are these four things that Paul says constitutes the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension. And the reason that the ascension of Jesus is so important is because the appearances of Jesus, the reason that the appearances of Jesus are so important is because they validate the death, the burial, and the resurrection. His appearances say he really died. He really was buried. He really did arise. That's what the appearances of Jesus do. And that's why they are so important. Walker made some fine comments a moment ago about the significance of this day. And in Christendom, if you'll allow me the use of that broad term, in Christendom today and leading up to today, the last 40 or so days, the build-up has been toward this day, Easter Sunday. It is the most significant day in the denominational world, in Christendom. It transcends even Christmas. But I want you to think about something for a moment. And I am not, believe me, I am not trying to de-emphasize the resurrection. Not in the least. But look at what Paul says here. He talks about the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension. These four things are a package. You can't pull one out without impacting the others. You can't take one without taking the other three. All four of these events, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearances, all four of them belong together. They are interrelated. What I would like to ask all of us today, I'd really like to ask this to all who have singled out Easter Sunday as a day that's special. What impact does the gospel have on your life? And when I say the gospel, you plug in the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearances of Jesus. What impact does these four events have upon your life? Easter Sunday, once a year. Is that the impact? Once a year, on what the world calls Easter Sunday, I come to a place of worship. And I give some acknowledgement to the fact that Jesus arose from the grave. I don't think too much about His death. Don't think too much about His burial. Don't think too much about His appearances, but I do think about the resurrection and just sort of isolate that. Forgetting that these verses put them all together. Every one of them together. And just once a year, one time on Easter Sunday, I give acknowledgement to one of them. But somebody says, well, no, it's not just Easter Sunday. The gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, and appearance of Jesus, they impact me every Sunday. And that's good. That's good. Well, let's go a step further. What about every day, year round? Not just what is called Easter Sunday, And not just every Sunday. What about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Does the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Jesus, do they impact my life at all? Those other 364 days of the year or those other 6 days of the week? Do they have any impact upon me at all? Somebody's thinking, what are you saying this for? What are you leading up to? Are you suggesting that the gospel is to have some sort of impact upon my life? No, I'm not. But Paul did. And he made it very clear here in Ephesians 1 in verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. When? One Sunday a year. You think that's what Paul meant? I don't either. Only every first day of the week in a year? Is that what he meant? I don't think so either. Or do you think that Paul was saying here that there is to be a lifestyle? A lifestyle that corresponds to the death and burial and resurrection and appearances of Jesus. You think that may be what he was talking about? Yeah, I do too. The gospel that Paul is praising here was not a one Sunday a year gospel. It was not even a every Sunday of the year gospel. It was an every day of the week gospel for however long we live upon this earth. Am I sure about that? Am I positive that this is what Paul had in mind here? Pretty sure. Pretty sure. And here's the reason that I say that. I've said that there is to be a correspondence between the gospel, those four events. There's to be a correspondence between the gospel on the one hand and my life on the other hand. And there is at least one place in a letter that Paul wrote where he says essentially that. Where I want to go is to the letter he wrote to the Romans and to show that there is to be a balance, there is to be a correspondence between the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the appearances of Christ on the one hand, and my conduct or my life on the other hand. Let's go to the Roman letter. Romans chapter 6. And look at four statements that Paul makes here. He said, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, have been baptized into His death." Somebody says, "Oh, I believe in the death of Christ." Okay, that's good. I'm not saying that facetiously. That is a great thing to believe in the death of Jesus. But has it ever impacted your life in the way that Paul suggested here in Romans 6? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Let me ask you a question. Have you been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ? Have you? then the death of Christ, while you may accept it as an historical event, and that's a good thing to do, you believe that Jesus died, that's fine. But as Paul suggests here in verse 3 of Romans chapter 6, until we have been baptized into His death, it's really not made a difference in my life in a practical way. It's only after I've been baptized into His death that I can say that part of the gospel has really, really impacted me and had a great effect upon my life. But Paul says something else, not only about the death of Christ here in Romans chapter 6. He says something about the burial of Jesus also. We have been buried with Him through baptism into death. We have been buried with Him through baptism. Now somebody says, going back to your first point, let me tell you, I've been baptized. I've been baptized. And I'm not trying to belittle anything here, I'm just trying to put it out practically. Somebody says, yeah, I've been baptized. My parents told me that I was christened when I was an infant. I had water sprinkled on me, or maybe poured on me, and so I've been baptized. Read Romans 6, verse 4 again. We have been buried with Him through baptism into death. This being baptized into the death of Christ involves what? Sprinkling? Is it the pouring of water? Or is it a burial in water? Romans 6:4 seems to indicate that baptism is a burial. And so, as with the death of Jesus, if I've not been baptized, I can't really say that the death of Jesus has an impact upon me. And if I've not been buried, submerged, immersed, I can't say that the burial of Jesus has any impact upon me because I wasn't buried. Something else was done. Now we come to the resurrection. In verse 5 of Romans 6, for if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, I want to go back for just a moment to the first part of that phrase. If we have become united with Him. How do you become united with Jesus Christ? To become united means to come into a relationship, to come into fellowship. How do we become united with Him? Well, by engaging in an activity that is like His death. That was baptism, we've already seen. We're baptized into His death. And it's a baptism that involves a burial. And if those two things aren't true, let me ask you, you ask yourself the question, can you say that you are really united with Jesus? You've never been baptized. And that baptism was not a burial. It was something else. The idea of resurrection suggests this same thing. You don't arise from being sprinkled. You don't arise from being immersed, from having water poured on you. You arise from being immersed. Acts chapter 8, Philip and the Ethiopian nobleman, they both went what? down into the water, and Philip baptized him, and then they what? They came out of the water. And the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Unless I've had that similar kind of resurrection, then I can take off every Easter Sunday that comes around and praise the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But unless I too have been resurrected, then that part of the gospel has had no impact upon me at all. And the benefits of the death, the burial, and the resurrection have had no impact upon me. But then there's that final historical act. Just as important as the first three. Just as important. Paul said in chapter 6, verse 4, as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. That was the significance of the appearances of Jesus. Did his friends recognize who he was when he arose from the grave? Am I stretching it too far to say that once we've been baptized, once we have been buried in baptism, once we have been resurrected from that water of baptism, we make an appearance to the world? That appearance says, I'm different now. Just as Jesus was different, so after being baptized and being resurrected, is that to result in a change of life on my part? Look at Romans 6. We walk in newness of life. Totally different. People look at me and say, I can't get over how she's changed. I can't believe he no longer does whatever. I said, what happened? Somebody said, well, I heard he was baptized here a few weeks ago, and you know, he hadn't talked the same since. He hasn't lived the same way since then. He's different. Yeah. Isn't that the point? And so, if the appearances I make to the world, to those I work with, to those in my family, if the appearances that I make to them are no different than they were before I was baptized. So yeah, I was buried in baptism, I arose and all that. But has it changed you? Has it made a difference in your life? Has it changed the way you look, the way you talk, the places you go, all of that? Just as the appearances of Jesus after His death, burial, and resurrection changed Him. So my death, burial, and resurrection means that my appearances to the world are likewise to say, I'm different now than what I used to be. I think the final question this morning is an obvious question. How does your life reflect the gospel of Christ? Not just one aspect of it, or one or two aspects of it. How does the death of Christ, how has it affected you in a practical way? Have you been baptized into His death? What about the burial of Christ? Have you been buried with Him in baptism? What about the resurrection of Christ? Was your baptism in the likeness of His resurrection? You came out up from something. And do you walk in newness of life, newness of look, newness of talk, newness of everything? If I honestly say to myself no to either one of any of those questions, then the gospel of Christ has not had the impact upon me that it was intended to have. Those this morning who've never been buried in baptism for the remission of their sins, to rise, to walk in all appearances to everyone a new life, you need to do that in order to obtain the benefits that are described in these texts. If we can assist you in that, we'll be more than happy to. All you have to do is let me know, and we can assist you in whatever way we can in allowing the gospel of Christ to have the intended practical impact upon your life that it was intended to have. We're going to partake at this time the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper brings to our minds not just one of these things, but all of them. His death, His burial, His resurrection, His appearances. We need to focus upon what Jesus did. That's true. But also, I need to look at myself to see if those events have changed me in any way, and if they haven't. And I need to make some changes in my life. Then do that. Walker's going to lead us in a song at this time that will channel our thoughts toward the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And then after the Lord's Supper, he'll lead us in a song, another song, that will be expressive of the things that we've done in the Lord's Supper. Walker?